This morning I want to kill a sacred cow. We'll buy it. There's a little saying that goes around in the church by Christians, you know? And they say something like this: I am not under the law, I am under grace. And I just want to say, you don't know what you're speaking about. Because you've made an assumption of what's under the law. Did I hear an amen? Okay, with that, we'll kick off. Or we'll do something. Today we're going to be looking at the principle of the first. And you're going to find this very interesting. I've got no doubts about it. Today's teaching is going to cover some interesting stuff. But somewhere along the line, a slide or two has gone missing. But let's not worry too much about that. What number does it say right at the bottom there? Okay, so somebody stole one slide. Okay, it's not too bad. Let me just do this as an introduction before I get to that slide. Last Sunday's word by David on tithing was challenging, wasn't it? I mean, it was. Now, for some folk, it was filtered through a mind wanting to hear what God has to say. And to others, it was filtered through their own opinion on the subject. And so the reality of what happened last Sunday is some people went home very happy and others not so happy. And today's teaching is going to lay the foundation to give you a better understanding of what God shared through David last week. And if your desire is to really hear God's truth, then today you will. I'm really serious about that. Today's teaching covers the following. First, the principle of the first. Secondly, the principle of the firstborn. Thirdly, the principle of the first fruits. Fourthly, the principle of the first 10%. And then fifthly, God's tithe. I'm sure you've heard the saying, always put first things first. That's an important principle in every area of life. Putting first things first also involves prioritizing. There are some things that ought to be the most important, the first in priority. In fact, life is filled with prioritizing our lives. We're all extremely busy, so we have to make choices. We must choose what is of the first priority and do those before lesser things. We find Jesus saying something very important in Matthew 6:33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And do you see what Jesus is saying? He's saying, first seek God and his kingdom, and then you can be sure God will take care of all your needs. Begins his teaching of a particular subject with the word first. You can check it up in your own Bible. The word first, by simple definition, means that which is foremost. And this is the very thought Jesus had in mind when he told his followers to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And Jesus was teaching what we could call the first priority principle. And this is not the only place in God's word where we find this first priority principle. In fact, it weaves its way throughout the whole Bible, in both the Old and the New Testament. And the principle of the first is about making sure God is first in our lives. And so we're going to get into Scripture and take a look at the subject of the principle of the first. And we're going to start in the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 13. So if you've got your Bible with you, you can go there. We're going to start with the principle of the firstborn. It's vital that you, somebody push a button for me, that you understand something about the principle of the firstborn. According to the Old Testament law, the firstborn was either sacrificed or redeemed. There was no third option. Okay, I'm going to say that again. The firstborn was either sacrificed or redeemed. There's no other option. Got it? Okay. I'll see if it carries on with my little sticky here. Every time one of your livestock animals delivered its firstborn, you were to sacrifice it. Or if it was designated unclean, you had to redeem it with a clean, spotless lamb. To summarize this, the clean firstborn had to be sacrificed and the unclean firstborn had to be redeemed. Now, I've used the word redeemed. What does it mean? It's very simple. If you've got a grade naught, you can understand this. The word redeem means to bless, deliver, restore, or to buy back. Simple, eh? It sounds like, ooh, but it's so simple. So, let's carry on. Exodus 13, 1 to 2. The Lord said to Moses, dedicate to me every firstborn among the Israelites. The first offspring to be born of both humans and animals belongs to me. The first offspring of humans or animals belongs to me. Tell somebody that. Just tell him. So what we see here is God plainly declares that the firstborn is his. It's mine. It belongs to him. In fact, you'll find God declaring that the firstborn is his 16 times in Scripture. Right? This is God's claim. And I want you to understand that God is the one giving the instruction. The first offspring to be born of both human and animals belongs to me. God has never changed his mind. God told Moses, set apart, consecrate, dedicate the firstborn among the children and the animals for him. And so the first thing we encounter in our text is the principle of the first. The firstborn must be sacrificed or redeemed. Note that when a firstborn lamb is born, it's not possible to know how many more lambs that ewe might produce in the future. Nevertheless, God didn't say, let your ewe produce 9 lambs first and then give me the 10th. God said, give me the first one. What did God say? Aha. You guys really catch on quick. Now I want you to know that always requires faith to give the first. This is a faith thing. It's not a law thing. It's a faith thing. So, the first portion is the redemptive portion. In other words, when the first portion is given to God, the rest is blessed. Now, I know some of you are sitting there going, huh? Okay, now I've got a way to try and explain it to you. In the same way, just to encourage you, your coming to church on the first day of the week is a way of giving the Lord the first of your time. That brings blessing to the rest of your time through the week. Monday is not the first day of the week. Sunday is. So when you give your first to God on a Sunday, instead of lying in bed, recovering from a babalas, or a very, very late party, or something, the rest of your week is blessed. Now, do you understand how simple that is? Give God first, you'll bless the rest. Now, Exodus 13:12. That you shall set apart. So this first is being set apart for God. For nothing else, to no one else, but to God. Set apart. Consecrate. Dedicate. Oops, I'm getting excited. Yeah, sorry. To the Lord, all that open the womb, that is the very firstborn that comes from an animal which you have, the male shall be the Lord's. But every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem, which buy back, with a lamb. And if you will not redeem, if you don't want to buy it back, then you shall break its neck. And all the firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem, you will buy back with a lamb. So, if a donkey is born and you're not prepared to offer a lamb, you have to kill the donkey. Now, I know what some of you would say, but it's my donkey. No, it's not. The first born belongs to who? Tell somebody that. Wow, and you thought Christianity is just about going to church when you want to. Okay, let's give you some examples. Remember Abraham and Isaac? Have you ever found yourself battling to understand the story of Abraham and Isaac? Why would God ask Abraham to sacrifice Isaac? Remember, Isaac was the first to open the womb of Sarah. Why would God ask him to do that? Abraham offered Isaac his first. God didn't go to Abraham when he only had Isaac and say, after you have four or five more sons, bring me one. He said, I want Isaac. God asked for the first when he only had one and only the promise of more. Do you get that? God had a legal right to ask for Isaac. Hello? Yo, but this Christianity is tough, eh? In Hebrews 11:6 it says, and it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. If we're not prepared to live by faith, we cannot relate to God. Bottom line. Well, let's give you another example. Egypt, the death of the firstborn. Have you ever wondered how God could justify taking the lives of Egypt's firstborn in the final plague? Remember, it was the firstborn human, firstborn animals. God took them all. Who did they belong to anyway? Come on, answer that one. They belong to God. Is God not able to take what belongs to him? You see, it didn't matter whether you were an Israelite or whether you were a non-believer. God has made a principle that the firstborn belongs to him, believer or non-believer. I know some guys are going, oof. You see, God had a legal right to take every firstborn because every one of them in Egypt and in Israel belonged to him. But the firstborn in Israel didn't die that night, did they? No. Why not? Because a lamb was sacrificed to redeem them. A spotless, perfect lamb took their place. And if you remember something, they were to take the blood and they were to put it at the top of the door, at the bottom, on the side, on the side. And what do we have? Does that tell you something? That's a hint about Jesus. Well, but we'll get there in a while. I don't want to go ahead of my time. Let's go to the principle of the first fruits. But wait, just before I get there. Ish. When I was a youngster, and I'm talking about maybe 5, 6, or 7, it's a long time ago, my mother had read these scriptures, and she said to me, Alan, you belong to God. Amen. And that's one of the reasons I am what I am today. Not only does the firstborn belong to God, but the first fruits belong to him as well. The first fruits must be offered to God. In Exodus 23, verse 19, it says this, "The first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God." The first of the first fruits you'll bring to God's house. In Proverbs 3, verse 9, "Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of your produce, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine." All right, so we vineyard, we like wine, right? Okay, you want wine? First fruits first. Yeah. Steal from God and your vines will die. And so the verse goes on further and says in it, it's the first of your first fruits that God wants. And that means that the last of your first fruits aren't acceptable. It's not the tenth portion, it's the first portion of your first fruits. Principle of the firstborn, the first fruits, and tithing are biblical and eternal. Let's illustrate it. Cain and Abel. Have you ever tried to figure out why God accepted Abel's sacrifice and not Cain's? How many of you know why he did that? Put your hand up if you know. Put a leg up. Okay. Don't do anything. Just look at me. Oops. Let's look at Genesis 4, verse 3 to 5. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. So why did God accept Abel's offering and not Cain's? Cain brought in the process of time. It wasn't the first fruits. He probably grazed or sold the first fruits already. Abel brought the firstborn. He honored God. The principle of the first existed hundreds of years before the law. We're talking about Genesis chapter 4. This is talking about the first and the second son of Adam and Eve. That's way before the Ten Commandments. So that sacred cow of "I don't live under the law" is dead when it comes to the principle of the first. Never come to me and say, "I don't live under the law. I wear size 13. What about Jericho? Now, most Christians remember the account of the fall of Jericho in the book of Joshua because it's such an incredible story, you know, of the Israelites going around Jericho, blowing the trumpets and praying and singing, and you know, and then finally the walls come down. Now, you may recall, if you know the story, that the Lord gave strict instructions to the Israelites that they were not to keep any of the spoils from Jericho. Just in case you think I'm joking. Joshua chapter 6 verse 18. Do not take any of the things set apart for destruction, or you yourselves will be completely destroyed, and you will bring trouble on the camp of Israel. Okay, so God says to them, all the spoils of war are mine. Finished. Why did the Lord say that all the silver and the gold from Jericho had to be given to the Lord's house? It was because it was the first city conquered in the promised land. It is the principle of the first. Got it? I mean, it's simple, isn't it? Whatever comes first belongs to God. And so God basically says, bring all the silver and gold from Jericho into my house, and you can have all the silver and gold from all the rest of the towns you're going to conquer. And he didn't say to them, conquer 10 cities and then give me the spoils of the 10th one. He said, I want the first. Give me the first, you can have the rest. And again, it took faith on the part of Israel to submit to the principle of the first. Jericho was a rich city. Lots of gold and silver. And God said, it all belongs to me. Well, you may recall that one person among the Israelites disregarded God's clear instruction. A man named Achan, remember the name? He took some of the spoils of war for himself. Of course, he hid it nicely, but he became accursed. Achan's action brought a curse on Israel's efforts to take the promised land. And so we find that Israel lost the next battle when attempting to conquer a much smaller city than Jericho, a city named Ai. There's a bottom line thing here. Don't mess with God. I can imagine some of those Jews. Just to let my mind go, eh? You know, it's an old mind. Let it go. Some of them are sitting having a beer, and they're saying, you know, we had to really walk a long way to conquer Jericho. I mean, around the city, and we can't even take anything. No, because it belongs to God. End of the story. Well, let's move on to the principle of the first 10%. Are you still interested? You want to know some more? I'd hate to bore you. Do you know that there are 500 verses on prayer, less than 500 verses on faith, but over 2,000 verses on money and possessions in Scripture? Jesus talked about money in 16 of his 38 parables. So clearly, from the Bible standpoint, we need to understand that money and how to handle it is important. Why? Because money is actually a test from God. We heard last week that God says, test me. You know, you tithe, I'll bless you. Test me. But it's a test on us too. The test is whether we will obey the principle of the first. And so that's why tithing is so important, as David pointed out last Sunday. It's the primary way that we acknowledge that God is first. Not many of you are growing vegetables so that you can, you know, farming so that you can give God the first of the first fruits. And not many of you are having any more children so that you can give first to the firstborn. Okay? kind of stuff. But you're all earning something. And the first 10% belongs to who? Oh, do you guys learn fast? How much? it's a test. As soon as the order went out, the Israelites generously gave the first fruits of their grain, new wine, oil, and honey, and all that the fields produced. They brought a great amount, a tithe of everything. Malachi chapter 3 verse 10, bring, not give, bring. Okay, I want you to memorize that word, bring. Turn to somebody and just say, bring. Okay, bring. Bring the whole tithe into the Lord's storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. Sure. Okay. Let's just do a little recap here. The tithe is never given. Never say, I've given God my tithe. Wasn't yours in the first place. You can't give what's not yours. Hello? If it belongs to God, you just bring it to Him. You don't give it to Him. You're not doing Him any favors. You're doing yourself a favor by being obedient to the principle of the first. Wow. Wow, this being a Christian is a bit tough, eh? Yes. Also, the tithe can never be designated. It's not ours to designate to any Christian or non-Christian organization, any person, family or non-family, whatever. You cannot give God's money to anyone, any place, only to Him. Listen carefully there, friends, because I know some of you think that you can use God's tithe the way you want to. Well, I've got a family member, you know, they're in need. I'll give my tithe there. God has not given you that opportunity. It's clear in Scripture, it goes to the house of God. It belongs to God. It's not yours to give. You bring it to God. Have I stood on anybody's toes? If I accidentally put the pressure up on you and your nose starts bleeding, just put a hand up and usher will bring tissues. By tithing, you're saying to God, I recognize you first. I'm putting you first in my life, and I trust you to take care of the rest of the things in my life. It means giving to God before you see if you're going to have enough. Now look, some of you have had little spies on the wall in your house, and they've watched you. You get your money and you say, oh, okay, the tax man, we better pay the loan, we better pay this, we better pay that. Oh my God, there's not enough money for you. Well, I don't have enough for you, so I'm not going to give you any. Don't put a hand up if you've done that. God knows who you are. I don't have to show Him. What belongs to God? The first portion. You know, we Christians so often will be found to give what I call cheap testimonies. Well, I gave my life to Jesus in 1921. And I have been in the way since then. And God says, get out of the way! If you belong to God, everything you have belongs to Him as well. And His 10% is His, not ours. I really hope I'm not shattering some of your theological understandings. Your sacred cows, yeah. So, there are many blessings that go along with tithing, but it's a principle of faith, putting God first, that initiates these blessings. Remember I shared with you to help you? Come to church on the first day of the week. Give God your first time. The rest of the week you'll find Him working with you. Stay at home on the first day of the week. Go to a party on the first day of the week. Just do anything you want to on the first day of the week and ignore God, and He'll ignore you for the rest of the week. Because you do not deserve to be blessed. That simple. So the first portion, the tithe, is the portion that blesses the 90% that's left. Yo, aren't you glad you didn't stay away this morning? Or are you sitting there saying, if ever there was a Sunday, I should not have come to church. It's today. The tithe, the firstborn, and the first fruits belong to the Lord. It isn't a law. Understand me. It is not the law. It's the principle of the first. It's an unchanging principle established by an unchanging God. Sure. I'm enjoying this. Not because I'm getting at you, but because I know the reality of this. There was a time where Charles and I were thinking, you know, we could never, ever, ever retire or anything like that. And a wonderful plan God has put together. We actually have a house we can sell. A big house to move into, a midget house. And then we'll still have money left for fish and chips. Yeah, that's only Friday. Okay, so let's move on. I can get carried away here. Notice that the scripture designates the house of the Lord as the proper place to give first fruits. It doesn't say to give the first of your first fruits wherever you want. I'm just underscoring it, right? It says, bring them into the house of the Lord your God. Now, Jesus is either your God, your Lord, or he's not. And so the Bible says in Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. Just as the firstborn and the first fruits belong to God, so does the tithe belong to Him. And like the other two, it must be first. That's the bottom line. Now, the principle of first fruits is very, very powerful. I've heard it said that any first thing given is never lost, and any first thing not given is always lost. In other words, what we give to God, we don't lose, but what we withhold from God, we will lose. And you see the words there, repeat paragraph. I was told by the staff on Monday, repeat this. The principle of the first fruits is very, very powerful. I'm a man under authority. I have heard it said that any first thing given is never lost, and any first thing not given is always lost. In other words, what we give to God, we don't lose, but what we withhold from God, we will lose. Now, Jesus echoed this principle when he said these words, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. Well, you've been waiting. You've been waiting. I know you've been waiting. You heard that God tithes, and now you want to know. You want to know. How did he tithe? Well, let's go to the account in the New Testament in which John the Baptist meets Jesus on the bank of the Jordan River. John was baptizing one day and he looked up to see Jesus walking towards him. At that point, John cried out these words. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. With that inspired declaration, John perfectly defined the role Jesus had come to fulfill. Jesus was God's firstborn. Jesus was clean, perfect, and unblemished in every way. The sacrificial lamb had to be offered on behalf of humankind. This is what the scripture says. Colossians 1:15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Romans 8:29. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. 1 Corinthians 15:20. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. So we have Jesus is the firstborn. He's the first fruits. He's God's tithe. Jesus was born clean, perfect, and unblemished in every way. On the other hand, every one of us was born unclean. We were all born sinners with a fully active sin nature. I'll prove it. Question for parents. Do you need to teach your children to do naughty things? Not at all. But you do need to teach them to do good things, right? We were all born unclean. In Romans 5:8, very precious, very precious. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us, the unclean. And so God gave Jesus first in faith, even when we were sinners. Jesus is God's tithe. The clean was sacrificed for the unclean. You get it? When he redeemed us by his sacrifice, Jesus bought us back for God. The donkey's neck should have been broken. But us donkeys have been cleaned. We've been bought back for God. And Jesus was literally a first fruits offering. And so in a very real sense, Jesus was God's tithe. So I want to sum it up. In examining the principle of the first, we've seen today that the firstborn belongs to God. We've seen that the first fruits belong to God. We've seen that the tithe belongs to God. Got it? We're going to share in the breaking of bread now.